The following is a production of Omnis.tv.
Tonight's show, I welcome a special music guest, Venatica, the World Series recap this weekend in the NFL, top movies at the box office, and also I'll cover the top shakeup in the BCS in college football. All this and much more tonight on Unsigned. Hey, everybody. How's it going out there? My name is Ryan. Welcome to another edition of Unsigned. It's Tuesday night. Hopefully everything is all right with you. We got a great music guest tonight, so we're going to get to that in a moment. Now, unfortunately, I regret to inform you that Occupy Unsigned has been canceled. I do apologize about that. The occupation of the studio tonight is canceled. So it really bummed me out. But hopefully we get that back on. And the reason for that is because in the state of Tennessee where I reside, they actually passed a law and started arresting people because of Occupy Nashville. We don't talk a lot of politics, those types of things on the show, but I figure that's definitely worth mentioning to give you an idea of the legal system here in Tennessee. Just to, shine a bright spot on good old Tennessee there. Gotta love the Southern hospitality, right? Hey, again, a lot of stuff we're going to cover. College football, crazy weekend again in college football, like always. NFL, Major League Baseball, the World Series just wrapping up. We're getting into all that tonight. But now, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, I would like to welcome now to the Unsigned Show, hailing from Champaign, Illinois, the band Venatica. Hey, Travis, how you doing, man?
That was the best introduction we've ever had, and I've written a few of our introductions, too, and that was awesome.
Cool, man, right on. Well, yeah, thanks for doing the show, man. I know we had you scheduled a couple weeks ago, and we had, some issues on our end, so I appreciate you coming back and wanting to do the show. It means a lot to us.
Oh, no worries. I was glad to hear that you guys really wanted to do it again, so not a problem. Let's rock and roll.
Right on, man. Well, I always thought your band name is very interesting, and most, if not all, bands have a very interesting story and how they, become a band. And I'm kind of curious about how you guys got started in 2004. How'd you come up, with the name Venatica, and how'd you guys get started?
Yeah, so my best friend in high school, when I was a freshman in high school, I think it was like 14 or 15, his name is Tyler Van Atkin, and so he died in a car accident at the end of our freshman year. And so I took his name, Van Atkins, and I turned it into just a made-up word called Venatica, kind of a tribute to him. And the band started out with four high school buddies, including me. So we all knew him and played music with him. And so it was just kind of a tribute to him. And then the name stuck, and people thought it was kind of catchy. They still misspell it from time to time, but that's okay.
Oh, very, very good story, man. Sorry to hear, obviously, about that loss some time ago. But again,
Hey, no worries. It was his birthday. It was his birthday a few days ago. So we went and partied at his mom's house. So it was a good time.
Awesome. Very cool, man. Good to see that you guys are carrying on a good tradition there and friend and honoring his memory with some really kick-ass music. Now, right now, there's a lot going on in the music world. What bands or groups have inspired you musically? Since you've started the group.
Sure. I always love this question because then I can point out that how old we are. So we are, we love Linkin Park. In the early 2000s, that's when we started playing music, as kids and stuff. So Linkin Park's still around and they're killing it. I mean, if I could open for any band, it would be them. The Foo Fighters, we've been compared to them, Rise Against, bands like that. And then new bands coming around that are getting famous that still really inspire us, like Life on Repeat, 4 Years Strong, all these new, pop punk bands. And, I think that pretty much covers what's inspiring us lately.
Cool, man. There seems to be a lot of, a lot of pop punk bands out there, much like you guys. And you guys really capture my attention because you don't fit into the hipster mold per se. And I know you guys were on tour in 2008 for the Warped Tour. That had to be a really good experience for you guys as a band. I mean, what did you guys learn from that experience being on a tour like that?
Right. Being on the Warped Tour in 2008 was crazy. We were such a young band. We've always been musically talented. I'll give us that. But we were like, we didn't look right. We didn't have the right songs or anything. We were just out there blasting it. And that kind of pointed it out. So the people were like, you know, you guys got good songs, but you got to pull it all together. And then, you know, in 2009, we kind of did. We got a management company out of LA. 2010, we signed with a label and stuff. So we all looked the part now. I still think we look a little bit different just because we're from the Midwest and we're playing with a bunch of California and East Coast bands and everything. But I got the pearly white teeth and 6'2" frame, so we're good to go, and we're all in the sport.
There you go. Right? Well, other than, you know, the, you know, obviously, you know, you got the pearly whites, you know, the big frame. Obviously, you got to get some groupies there playing shows, and the ladies. Other than the women, of course, what's your favorite part about playing live as a band?
Oh, man. Well, it's so much fun to write the songs and then actually get to portray them to the crowd so they know what you're feeling at that time. And obviously live, you can't hear all the lyrics, but later on they figure it out. And they're like, man, that guy's either really bright or he's messed up or he went through something that I did. So I always love just portraying my life in the music. And I think that's great. And we were doing a talk the other day at Illinois State University. It was just me and the bassist. And we told them there's two different types of bands. And then there's the ultimate band. And the first band is those bands get chicks. And then the second band is that band makes money. And then the third band is the ultimate, where you make money and you get chicks, which one we fall under. And I told him the bassist works at Jimmy John's right now. So what do you think?
Good answer, man. Hey, money for nothing, chicks for free, yep. Like the old Dire Straits song goes. And that kind of parlays into my next question for you guys. A song that we're going to play here in just a moment, which is off the King or Me EP, which you guys launched earlier this year. Ready, Set, Stop. Tell me about, you know, this title track for you guys, and also, you know, when you mentioned the writing process as far as lyrics, you know, is that mostly from, you know, struggles in your life, or you get it from, you know, stories you read, or is it kind of a combination of the two?
I think it's a combination, but mainly it's 75% of it is just real life experience. And so that song was kind of key for us because it was, when we were growing up as a band, about 2008, 2009, we started getting more popular. And there was other bands on our management roster, and they were getting all these great opportunities that we weren't getting. And then they would turn them down. Like this one band, I won't mention who they are, got offered a tour to go out with a big band. And they turned it down because a couple of them had jobs or whatever, and they school and all that. And it was like, why would you turn down your dream, your passion, to just do the normal thing? Why would you do that? And so that's exactly what Ready, Set, Stop is all about.
Awesome, and very good. You know, I agree with you there as far as, you know, I worked in radio years and years ago in the late 90s, and, you know, a gentleman we've had on the show, Mr. Jeff Sack, who's a mentor of mine as far as broadcasting, always said, you know, when you're in the music industry or radio or TV or whatever it is, as far as entertainment's concerned, you know, we're like the band, we're like the people of Misfit Toys. We just really have a niche, you know, whether you're working at, you know, Jimmy John's or wherever it is, and then you just kind of, you can't rely on staying at your, you know, your favorite bar around the corner. You got to go out and do it. And I'm glad you mentioned that. That's good stuff. Here's Fanatica here on Unsigned. Yeah. Ready, Set, Stop.
Don't turn your back on chance, you'll never face yourself.
stop here on the Unsigned Show. That is Venatica talking with Travis from Venatica. Hey, dude, good stuff, man. I really like that tune a lot. As you know, man, we talk a lot of sports on the show. Now, I know you're in Illinois. Tell me, what are some of your favorite sports in the area?
Okay. Well, the bassist and I, Jaron, who couldn't be here tonight, but him and I are like the main components of the band. And we love sports. So we were driving to a show yesterday, and all we did was talk about fantasy football. So we're into football. We love basketball. Not so much baseball anymore. When we were growing up, we did. But not. We don't have any good teams around here except for the Cardinals, and we don't dig on that. So, yeah, football and basketball. If you want to touch on those, we can go back and forth on that.
What's your favorite football team? You a Bears fan?
No, not so much, because they're always a disappointment. All Chicago teams were a disappointment except for the Bulls back in the day. But I one day I was like, I need to pick two good teams that I can root for the rest of my life and be happy with myself. So I picked two teams, the Atlanta Falcons and the New Orleans Saints. New Orleans Saints.
Ah, gotcha. Okay. Now, those two teams are, as division rivals, so they play one another two times a year. You feel conflicted?
I usually lean towards the Falcons because I like Matt Ryan, but the deal is I'm always happy because they usually end up in the championship together, and then one of them's going to win. So I'm like, all right, let's do this.
Right on. Well, you know, Saints won a couple years ago, and they got shocked last Sunday going to St. Louis and playing the Rams and getting shocked. Considering as good as they looked against the Colts the week before.
It was like 60 points the week before, and then come and do crap the next week.
Yeah, that's the NFL for you, man. Now I know you're a Fighting Illini fan, right? College football wise.
Absolutely, I'm alumni. I was on the track and field team here at the U of I, and so yeah, we got a basketball game going right now. We're playing Wright State, I think. And then football. We've been struggling the last couple weeks. We've been struggling, but we'll come back.
Yes, I'm an Ohio State fan. I lived in Columbus for a long, long period of time, and we kind of paid you guys back about 3 weeks ago. From you guys were 5-0, and that's payback from 2007 when we were undefeated and you guys beat us. So that I'll get that stick in there.
It's totally fine. And Ohio State's like such a good athletic school, but the deal is, it's like you're such a big rivalry for us, but I know we're not for you because you guys are just always nationally awesome. So it's like we really look forward to playing you guys, and then every now and then we catch you, but it's just because we're so pumped up to play you because you're at another level.
Yeah, Ohio State in a down year, I think they're finally starting to turn the corner, and Ron Zook in Illinois is a guy that, you know, when he was in Florida, a guy who can just recruit athletes, and Illinois is always top 10, 15 in recruiting. You know, it's kind of like John Cooper was at Ohio State, you know, back in the 80s and then the early 90s, where, you know, he could recruit, but he just couldn't produce it on the field. So I don't know what direction they're going to go after this season. Interesting to see. Do you have a favorite sports memory at all?
Favorite sports memory. Let's see here. Man, I guess it'd be when I was little. I was throwing the discus the Illinois State Championships, and my brother, he very seldom came to athletic events. He's older than me. But he came to that, and he brought all his friends and everything, and it was like a 2-hour drive or whatever, and he came and watched. And I mean, that's a big deal for like a young kid like me to have your older brother come watch you throw. And the rest of it was just cake after that. It was on to collegiate sports and Division I, and it was like, all right, this is my job. This is fun.
Awesome, man. That's a very good memory. Now, Travis, getting back to the music side of things, you mentioned Linkin Park earlier. What's something that you're listening to right now? What's on your iPod or in your CD player in your car right now?
So I go through like a month period of just listening to like the same three bands. So the three bands I've been listening to and working out to are Chunk, No Captain Chunk. They're a French band, and they play like kind of popcore, but it's like a lot of breakdowns, like A Day to Remember kind of stuff. And then I've been jamming to Sleeping with Sirens. I think they're based out of the East Coast, like Virginia area. So they're pretty cool. And the last one, who can I say? New 4-Year Strong album's pretty sweet, actually. They took a different turn and got away from the pop punk and went straight at it. Now they can tour like Foo Fighters or anybody because they went mainstream, so I love it.
Very cool. Right on. Now, this next song, this comes off an album you guys did back in 2009, Playwork Productions EP. Tell me about, you know, where you've gone right now. You know, since, you know, you've been a band again since 2004, you've got a couple albums out. This song, This Grenade's For You, which I love the title, by the way. I was telling Mike, our producer, I really love the title for this track. But tell me where you guys were musically for this song to where you really are now for The King and Me. Or King or Me, excuse me.
Yeah, it was kind of this weird balance. We just brought in a new guitarist, and he's phenomenal, as you can hear on this track. And so him and I were kind of butting heads on what kind of songs we could write, because I'm more about just making hooks and catches and making people, you know, move to the music and feel it. And he's more about the music aesthetics of it, where it's like really complicated and crazy. So I'm like, well, let's write a song together. And this is what we came up with. And I said, I'm going to write it about some girl that I know that I'm very unhappy with right now. And he's like, no, it's totally cool. So he wrote all the music to it. And then I wrote all the lyrics and all the melodies and everything. And so as a band, it was kind of conflicted, but it came out pretty cool. And then as you see in the King or Me album, the new one, that's much more toned down. And we did that out in Los Angeles with like a big producer, and it was more my style. So I think I've started like taking over the music writing aspect of it, because we've gotten more mainstream, which is fine. And we no longer have that other guitarist anymore. So that's probably why the music's been toned down. But sure. That's exactly where it was. It was like confusion, and now we're kind of like set. We know where we're at.
Very nice. This is Vanatica here on Unsigned, talking with Travis. This Grenade's For You here on Unsigned.
This is revenge for the first time that you ran and smashed my heart. I had to go find scattered pieces, but now I'm so ready for a brand new start. You woke me up in the morning, I'm citing your kitty fog or poo. You always smelled up your latest passion, sad, it was never mine for sure. Red stop sign, but don't rewind. Yeah, I'm never looking back, but you're slapping my face and you're breaking my heart.
This Grenade's For You here on Unsigned. That is Vanatica hanging out with Travis. Again, very good stuff, man. I definitely see the and hear the growth from you know, where you were during that song, you know, some of the stuff, you know, the new stuff, which is great. Now, obviously, you know, with, you know, creating albums, writing music and everything you guys have done in really a short time when you look at it as far as a band's existence, musically, I mean, you know, when you go to do more albums, is there a certain artist or anybody that you wish you guys could work with that you haven't worked with?
Like an artist or like a producer, or what are you talking about?
Either way, whether it be a producer or another musician that you guys have, you know, had the privilege of touring with, or, you know,
I think the best one would be Brendan Urie from Panic at the Disco. He's the lead singer for them. When we went and recorded out in Hollywood, we used all of his gear, and it was the same guy who just recorded the new album and everything. And so they're a huge influence on us. Panic at the Disco is. And so I think, I know that guy just craps gold. And I've heard a bunch of his like songs that haven't been released, and they'll never be released because they didn't make the label. But I mean, they're better than anybody else can write. And it's just like, those are the B sides and nobody's going to hear them. I'm like, what is this? Come on. And so he just craps gold. If he wanted to make a rap album, he probably could.
There you go. Right on. Now, you guys just played a show at the Hard Rock on the 21st of October. Tell us about that experience playing at the Hard Rock. How'd that go for you guys?
It was pretty intense because, you know, it's the Hard Rock Cafe. You see it when you grow up. You're like, hey, that's the Hard Rock Cafe. Can we go eat there? And you hope that you can play there someday. So we go driving up there with a van full of our friends and stuff, and because it's only a two-hour drive for us. And we pull up, and I'm like, so where do we park our van? Because it's downtown Chicago. And so the drummer hops out and he's like, where do we park the van or whatever? And some guy comes up, he says, I'll park your car for you, valet. So it's like, all right. So they valeted our tour van. And that was interesting to see him pull that maneuver off. And then we unloaded, went in there, played the show. They treated us like really well. And I mean, it was a good show. There was probably 400 or 500 people. And yeah, made a ton of cash that night, went home happy, got home at like 4 a.m. and it was a good time. And I suggest anybody that's good enough they should play there, because I was very pleased with the experience. And I'd heard horror stories before about how Hard Rock cafes around the nation, like, don't treat you well, or they pay you with food or something stupid like that. And just, you know, so I was really happy.
Were you worried about you were getting paid in valet parking at the end of the night?
I didn't know if that was coming out of our check at the end of the night. Oh, we had the contract signed and the writer and everything, but who knew? You know, it's Chicago. What do you know?
Yeah, very nice. Now, I know you guys did a Halloween show. Was that last night or this weekend?
Yeah, so that was last night, because it was over at Millikan University in Decatur, and they don't have school today, so they all just, you know, party balls and came out and played, watched us play. So that was a lot of fun. But you're based out of Nashville, right?
Yeah, I'm just outside of Nashville. Mm-hmm. Playing at the university here, I mean, you know, obviously Halloween night, lots of costumes. What was your best costume that you saw there last night?
Yeah, no, we had to judge the Halloween costume contest, which sucks because these are all your fans, right? There's like 100 of them in the small room. They're all dressed up, and we have to pick three of them. So it's like, ah, crap. So you look around for the most just crazy stuff. So third place was the Pope. Second place was a Roman soldier that was decked out. And first place was a zombie Katy Perry.
Zombie Katy Perry. Nice. Very good. Did you guys dress
pretty
up at all?
Good. Yeah, I dressed up as the drummer, and the drummer dressed up as me. And the bassist last night was dressed up as a nerd, which was pretty popular this Halloween, I hear.
Very nice. Now, obviously, you know, we're past Halloween, but, you know, you guys are you a horror film fan? Yeah. Any, favorite, horror films?
I love being scared. I was just talking to my friend about that. That's funny you mentioned that. And horror movies, they gotta be really good. And I'm talking Rob Zombie good. Like, have you seen The House of like 1,000 Corpses or whatever it is? Or,
oh yeah.
Like, his stuff is creepy, and that's great. I like that stuff. And my buddy, is starring in a new movie coming out next year, the Texas Chainsaw Massacre 3D. So that'll be kind of interesting to see that, have one of your friends be in that. I it's always weird to watch him on film because he acts the exact same as he does in person. So I wonder if all actors are like that, but I'm not sure.
I guess you'll never know, right? Because you're an actor. So, but
I have no idea.
So he must be pretty good, man. Texas Chainsaw Massacre 3D. That is definitely going to give a new layer to Leatherface, no doubt.
I honestly think it's going to be a crap movie, but I'm looking forward to poking fun at him for doing it. So it should be good.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be your typical hack 'em slash 'em. Watching in 3D. And for horror movies, I like the paranormal, like psychological thrillers. I watched a film last night called The Last Exorcism, and it started off, and I was like, it's kind of cheesy. And the concept of the movie was pretty cool because it's this basically hack priest who goes around basically snitching people out of their money doing pretend exorcisms, and he gets called to this place in Louisiana and ends up being like this crazy cult ritual, and a pretty interesting film, and it's done documentary style, so it's kind of done Blair Witch style, so it's a very interesting take on a horror film.
I like that. Sounds like a good time to me.
Yeah, it was a good way to spend my Halloween Eve, that's for sure. The last song we're going to play tonight. Now, and before we get to that, this is again another song off The King or Me. Tell listeners out there how if they want to, get some of these songs, they want to get some of your music, they want to hear about your upcoming live shows. Go ahead and tell us about that.
Sure. So, I mean, we are all over the internet. Literally, you'll find like 1,000 of our websites. So, if you just type in Vanattica, VanAttica, into Google, you'll find our Facebook page, our MySpace, Twitter, everything. I mean, on Facebook, you'll make friends with three or 4,000 of your closest friends. Now you're going to have some fun on there. MySpace, you got that place is dying, but there's still 15,000 people on there hanging around or something like that. But Twitter is where it's at. We always update our shows on Facebook and on MySpace, even though I don't know why, but we still do. But it's not hard to find us anymore. It used to be, but not anymore. And then YouTube, we put up videos all the time, and YouTube's actually paying us now to put up videos, which is really cool. And so it's not hard to find us. And if you want to book us or anything, I mean, we are not shameful. Like, we have no shame. We'll play bar mitzvah. We'll play in your living room. We don't care. I mean, we've played for thousands of people. We played for a guy named Ted in a bar. No big deal.
Nice.
So,
right on. Awesome.
If you want to get a hold of us, not hard to do.
Awesome, man. Very good stuff. Now, I know, I think I saw it on your Twitter earlier today, you guys were doing are working on an acoustic set this week. Is that right?
Absolutely. So the person who sells the most pre-sale tickets gets a free private show. I'm totally stealing the idea from 4 Years Strong. I saw him do it. But person who sells the most pre-sales, they get a free like 3-song set before we even, do our sound check or whatever.
Very cool. Good idea, man. Well, hey, Travis, pleasure having you on, man. I hope you had as much fun as we had tonight, and we'll play out here. Is there anything we should know about the song that's all about gun shows and rodeos, which is off the King or Me EP?
Yeah, no, this song is really cool. It's kind of the anthem about online relationships and dating, and how you and this person develop such a cool relationship, and it's you against the world because you don't think it's going to work because it's an online thing, and then it really doesn't in the end. So that's what the whole song is about. And it's all about gun shows and rodeos. Has really no meaning whatsoever to anybody except for the band. It's just a cool name. So that's what we chose.
Right on. Yeah. I really like the title of a lot of your songs, man. Really creative stuff. Hey, Travis,
thanks. We have fun with them.
Yeah, man, definitely. It sounds like you guys, you're having a good time making some good music. Keep at it, man. We'd love to have you back on again anytime. Thanks for stopping by, man. Appreciate it.
Hey, we'll be back. We'll be back next week and the week after that. I'm going to be your sports update guy from Illinois.
All right. Hey, yeah, we need an insider, man. So, all right. Well, hey, Travis from Vanattica, thanks a lot, man. Appreciate it. And we leave you tonight with Vanattica and all about the gun shows and rodeos here on Unsigned.
I'm missing the beat, and I'm sorry to say that I'll never admit to anything. I'll only take you for granted when you're here. I kind of forget how I'm allowed to act when you're looking at me without piercing attack. No conscious decisions can save me from myself. We are tonight.
That is Venatica, our special music guest tonight here on Unsigned, their third song of the evening. It's all about the gun shows and rodeos. Thanks to Travis and the band Venatica for stopping into the Unsigned show tonight. Very, very cool, dude. Good group of guys making some good music. Always good to have a quality guest on the show. And apparently Occupy Unsigned is going to be on because Venatica is, Travis, as he alluded to, is coming back next week. So Occupy Unsigned is officially on now. So if you're out there, you know, it's on. It's Occupy Unsigned. You can chant whatever you want. But moving on tonight, we got a lot of those things to cover. Not only do we have an awesome music guest, we got a bunch of football to cover, and we're going to get right into it right now. Crack it and hit it. Pigskin Pick'ems this week. Going into the weekend, I was 60-41. Well, excuse me, I was 40. I actually ended up being 60-41 after this week. Gosh, that's what I was last week, folks. I went 9-4 this week. That leaves me at 69-45 right now. About 61% on my pick so far, halfway through the season. Not too bad. My goal is to get up around 70% by the end of the year. So I got about 8 to 9 weeks to get that done. Let's start with this week's games. And we'll start in Houston, the Jaguars, Texans, AFC South battle. AFC South, not a good division at all. The Texans, without their best player maker, Andre Johnson, again, they win two division games. They won against Tennessee last week, and they beat Jacksonville at home this week. Now in sole possession of first place in that division, I expect them to win that division going away. It shouldn't be much of a contest. They pick up a win. It wasn't easy, but they get a win 24-14 over a struggling on Jacksonville team. Andre Johnson looking to make his return from a hamstring injury sometime this week as they welcome the Cleveland Browns into town. Moving on, we talked about this with Travis and Venatica. The Saints heading to St. Louis to take on the Rams. I don't think anybody saw this thing coming at all. This, especially considering the way they beat up the Indianapolis Colts 62-7 in primetime Sunday night. And then for them to go to St. Louis and play the winless St. Louis Rams, they did not look good. It looks like the Rams put some kind of voodoo on them. Steven Jackson at running back for the Rams was healthy, and I think that's really key for a team that I picked to win. I picked the Rams to win their division, and here they are. They won their first game 8 weeks in. So, you never know what's going to happen in the NFL. But they get Steven Jackson back, and he was a big part of their win. 159 yards, two touchdowns. They're all over the Rams. The Saints did not look very good at all, and the Rams win 31-21. The Colts and the Texans, Colts and Titans. Again, this used to be like a big-time rivalry. You have Peyton Manning coming to Nashville. Chris Johnson, saying that it's not his fault about, his rushing average. I'm sorry, this guy had a $50 million contract. You're accountable for your actions. You're making $50 million a year. You have to produce on the field. He got benched in this game against the Colts. I'm sorry, if you're supposed to be an elite running back in the NFL and you can't get your ground game going with Chris Johnson against the Indianapolis Colts, who look to be the worst team in the NFL, you have major, major issues there. Honestly, in my opinion, Chris Johnson looks like a guy who took the money and basically took his foot off the gas. And locally here in sports radio, I've been calling in, and basically, the debate this summer and the offseason was, CJ's holding out. And I'd call in, and these local guys would basically make fun of me, think I was crazy, and I'd go, I wouldn't pay him. I wouldn't pay him the money once. I'd let him walk or trade him or something. And they were like, you're crazy. I'm like, really? Because they were a 500 team with him when he was rushing over 1,500 yards. Now, granted, they're having a decent season because they have, Matt Hasselbeck. But, again, they're going to end up throwing the ball a lot more than they want to with Matt Hasselbeck. Their top wide receivers out. I think the Titans were a trendy pick early in the season. I expect them to kind of fade a little bit as they head down the season, although they do pick up a win against the Colts. The Colts have become the doormat at this point in the NFL, 27-10 in favor of the Titans. The Dolphins and the Giants. The Suck for Luck sweepstakes is on, or I like to call it the Spew for Andrew. The Dolphins head back to the Meadowlands. Yikes. They must really like just getting leads and blowing the game. That must be really what they like to do. I mean, this is unbelievable. This Dolphins team, they get a big lead. They get up. They blow a double-digit lead. It's like Charlie Brown kicking the football. I mean, it's really a true story Dolphin tale there in Miami. Giants, again, went behind a very strong performance by Eli Manning. Giants pulled out 20-17. The Cardinals taking on the Ravens, heading to Baltimore. The Cardinals jump out in front big time in this game, 24-3 with a big lead. The second half, the Ravens finally wake up from their sleepwalk from the previous Monday night. It looks like it kind of carried over on them. And then they get rolling big time. 336 yards passing from Joe Flacco. Three touchdowns from Ray Rice. Ravens, that sets up a big time primetime match against the Pittsburgh Steelers. We'll get into that in a little bit. Vikings, Panthers, rookie versus rookie. This was actually a very entertaining football game. Cam Newton is good, man. Three touchdowns. And I tell you what, this Christian Ponder kid in Minnesota looks to be – he looks like the real deal. The Panthers had a chance to tie this game up, if not for a missed field goal, which was basically a glorified field extra point kick, bounces off the upright. Vikings get the win, 24-21. You have the Lions coming off two losses in a row at home, heading to Denver to take on Tim Tebow and the Denver Broncos. I tell you what, this thing was ugly. I'm telling you, big time ugly. I mean – and, you know, the social network craze was Tebowing. I tell you what, Tebowing will not save you from the Detroit Lions defensive line, who twisted Tebow and beat him and pounded him all day, sacking him, intercepting him, causing him to fumble the football. Tim Tebow has been sacked 13 times in two football games. This kid is not – if they're going to plan on playing him the rest of the season, I think he's on a short leash at this point. I don't know if he's going to survive the season. You can't get sacked 13 times in two games and expect to be an NFL quarterback. It's just not the way it goes. Plus, he threw an interception pick six that went 100 yards the other way, a fumble that was ran in for a touchdown. So the Detroit Lions defense outscored the Broncos in this big time beatdown. Lions win 45-10 in Tebow. I'm Tebowing right now. Can you tell? Redskins, Bills. Bills coming off the bye week, playing in Toronto, a place they haven't had much luck playing, and they get a shutout, 23-0. Ryan Fitzpatrick gets a long-term deal with the Buffalo Bills, and as well he should. The kid's been playing some solid football. Mike Shanahan, the coach of the Redskins, gets shut out for the very first time in his career in 24 seasons. Wow. And he's also the third on the list of most wins all time in the NFL. And they get blanked. The Bills look like the real deal. The Cleveland Browns head to San Francisco. Not a pretty football game at all. Second play of the game, blitz off the right side, sack, fumble. 49ers get on the 20-yard line. And before you know it, it's 7-0 49ers before even 2 minutes have ticked off the clock. Now, credit to the Browns defense, who came out in the second half and really held the 49ers in check all game in the second half, only giving up 17 points, getting 4-3 and outs in the second half. But the Browns offense, again, cannot score points, cannot really do anything. They basically just punted it right back to them. The Browns lose 20-10 over the 49ers. Patriots, Steelers, and this was a heck of a football game. The Steelers kind of breaking their mold from their zone blitzing and play press coverage against Tom Brady and the New England Patriots. It wasn't as much of a shootout as I thought it would be because of just the way, you know, Pittsburgh played keep away and the way they played defense. Maybe a new blueprint on how to take Tom Brady out of his rhythm. The Steelers right there, steady as she goes, 25-17. I'll tell you what, you know, a couple weeks ago, everyone was like, oh, the Steelers are old and slow, and here they are, you know, one of the best teams in the AFC, or looking like one of the best teams in the AFC. It pains me to say that as a Browns fan. I hope you know that. The Cincinnati Bengals heading to Seattle to take on the Seahawks. Now, let's face it, the Seahawks are not a good football team at all. And the rookie, the Red Rocket, Andy Dalton, and rookie wide receiver A.J. Green from Georgia, these two guys have a synergy together. They look really, really good. They're playing very solid football. The Bengals playing solid defense, running the football, play action. Andy Dalton looks like the real deal. They get a big-time win in Seattle, a very tough place to play on the road, 34-12. The Cowboys heading to Philadelphia. Andy Reid, the Eagles were on a bye league last week. Andy Reid's been in Philadelphia for 13 seasons. He is 13-0 when playing a game out of a bye week. Nobody games plans better than Andy Reid coming out of a bye week and preparing his football club. And everyone thought, you know, Cowboys coming to town, big-time rivalry. Wow, I tell you what. The Philadelphia Eagles jump all over the Cowboys, embarrass them. 23 million people watched that game Sunday night, and they saw the Cowboys get steamrolled and I'm talking steamrolled, 34-7. It wasn't even really that close. LeSean McCoy, who might be, he's turning into one of the best running backs in the NFL, has 185 yards, two touchdowns. The Eagles, I tell you what, if this team gets on a roll and they start running the ball with McCoy and making smart decisions, and they start playing with a lead, that defense is built to play with a lead. The way they rush the passer, the secondary with Nnamdi Asamoah, Asante Samuels, Cromartie, they have a lot of pieces there. The linebacker core is still an issue in Philly. I'll tell you what, they're the only team, dare I say, the only team in the NFC I think that matches up with the defending champs, and that is the Green Bay Packers. That's just my opinion. Now, the Monday night game, tell you what, if you watch this game, this was hard to watch. This was sloppy football. Probably about 8 turnovers in this game collectively between the teams. That's the Chargers and the Chiefs. The Chargers, I don't know what's going on with this team. They just have not taken care of the football, and they battle back and tied the game 20-all. There's about 50 seconds left in the game. They're marching down. They're probably about the 16-yard line. They're going to take one final hike, probably take a knee or run at one play, and then call timeout, kick a field goal, and win the game, right? No, no. Phillip Rivers fumbles the center exchange, and the Chiefs get the ball, drive down. We end up playing for overtime. The Chiefs get a stop, then drive back down again, kick a field goal, and win it. Ryan Succop, the kicker for the Kansas City Chiefs, gets his second game-winning field goal on Halloween night. He did the same thing last year as well in Kansas City. A tough place to play. Arrowhead is a, it's a great stadium, a great crowd there, and that's twice in the last 2 years the Chargers have gone to Arrowhead in KC and have lost, and it may cost them, like it did last year, the AFC West division. Now, next week's games, a lot of good football games. We'll start with the Seahawks-Cowboys. This is not one of the good games, obviously, on the list here. The Cowboys head home after getting beat down in Philadelphia. Heading back to Big D, I playing a really bad Seahawks team, I think the Cowboys roll big time here. Now, the Dolphins had the Kansas City on a short week. I think if the Dolphins are ever going to win a football game, this is the week to do it. Getting Kansas City off an emotional overtime win and on a short week, I'm picking the Dolphins here. Call me crazy. I'm picking the Dolphins. I don't think it's going to be a pretty football game by any means, but I think if the Dolphins are going to get a win, this is the week to do it, getting a KC team on a short week coming on a Monday night game. Here's a big division rival game here in the NFC. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers coming off a bye week, heading to New Orleans. I tell you what, the Saints had some kind of voodoo, like I said earlier, put on them when they went to St. Louis and played this past weekend. The young Tampa Bay Bucs coming off a bye week after that debacle in London playing the Bears. Part of me wants to say Tampa Bay is going to win this thing, but the New Orleans Saints are a very tough team to beat in that stadium in New Orleans. The crowd, I think the Saints bounce back this week. Now, here's a game that probably is not going to be for the faint and heart, and that's the Falcons heading to Indianapolis. This could get ugly, big time. I think, you know, Matt Ryan and Michael the Burner Turner, I think the Falcons win big time in this game. You have the 49ers heading to Washington to play the Redskins, who have lost three in a row now. They're in a tailspin. They have major issues on the offensive line at quarterback. The defense has not looked as sharp as they have been early in the season when they got out that 3-1 start. This game could really go either way for me, a young 49ers team. But I'm taking the Niners in this thing. I think the 49ers, with the way they play defense, the way they run the football with Frank Gore, I think they find a way to get a win in Washington. The Jets at Bills. This is a big-time AFC East battle. The Jets were on a bye week last week, heading to Buffalo. Weather could be an issue there. But again, it's New York and the Jets and the Bills. Big-time rivalry game. I think if the Jets are going to make a move here and try to get in the hunt of this division and get into wild card spot, this is the place to do it. But you know what? I'm picking Ryan Fitzpatrick, Fred Jackson, Steven Johnson of Buffalo Bills to go crazy in this game. I think they exposed the Jets, and things in New York are not looking pretty. We have the Cleveland Browns heading to Houston to take on the Texans. Obviously, I'm a fan of the Cleveland Browns, you all know, and I would like to see them win this game. But the analytical side of me says no. I think the Browns' defense will keep it close, but again, I don't think the Browns' offense, they have major issues at running back now. Peyton Hillis is still questionable. Montario Hardesty, who's done a decent job as his backup, is also going to be out with a calf injury. They have issues on the right side of the offensive line. I'm not sure Colt McCoy is the answer at this point. We'll give him some more time, obviously, but they need to protect him and find a running game. They have neither. The defense keeps it close, but the Texans win. Broncos heading to Oakland in the black hole. I'm wondering if CBS is going to put up a little ticker, like a Tim Tebow sack counter in the corner of this game while it's on. Because the Raiders front seven, they like to get at the quarterback. He thought the Lions and the Dolphins got after him. The Raiders are coming out of a bye week and after an embarrassing loss the week before to Kansas City, playing a division rival, the Broncos. I think the Raiders are looking to chomp on some Tebow. And I wouldn't surprise if Tebow even lasts the game, whether he gets pulled or gets hurt, because this kid is going to take a beating. I'm Tebowing right now, in case you can't tell. Tebowing. Bengals, Titans. You know, a part of me wants to say, you know what, Titans should win this game, but I'll tell you what. For whatever reason, against my better judgment, I'm picking the Cincinnati Bengals to win this thing. They are on a roll, and I tell you what, Chris Johnson is not the answer in Tennessee. You paid him $50 million, you have to play him. You're paying the guy that. You give him a $50 million contract, you can't bench him. You got to play him. You're paying him that much money. Just the economics of the NFL. And I dare say the Bengals come to Nashville and get a hard-fought win behind Andy, the Red Rocket Dalton. He hasn't really made a lot of mistakes. You know, he's made good plays to his wide receivers and his tight ends, and they've run the football and played solid defense. Cincinnati, I think they get a win in Nashville this weekend. This is a game I went back and forth on. Giants-Patriots. It's in Foxborough. This is the first time these two teams have played since 2007 in the Super Bowl. Now, the Giants, obviously, as everybody knows, beat the undefeated Patriots in that Super Bowl with the memorable David Tyree catch on the helmet. I don't think any of that's going to be going on. Two things remain the same on these teams: Eli Manning and Tom Brady. I expect this to be a shootout. This is going to be a fun game to watch. The Giants have issues in the secondary injury-wise, and the Patriots can't stop anybody from passing the ball either. This is going to be a high-scoring football game. The Giants have a potential, I think, to win this thing with their running game on Amon Bradshaw, but I'm going to take the Patriots at home in Foxborough. You have the Rams heading to the desert to take on the Cardinals. Kevin Kolb is banged up. He's got a bad turf toe. They think Sam Bradford for the St. Louis Rams is going to be back this week coming off his ankle injury. I'm taking the Rams over the Cardinals this week. Now, here's an interesting matchup here. The Green Bay Packers coming out of a bye week, taking on the San Diego Chargers, who have lost two in a row now, two that they've had the lead and given it up. And as bad as the Chargers have looked, it would be the signal Chargers to go to Lambeau and win, right? That'd be something they would do after two horrible losses in New York and then one in Kansas City on Monday night on a fumble, on a center exchange. But let's be real here. The Packers are the best team in the NFL, and then there's everybody else. Coming out of a bye week, playing at home in Lambeau, early November, I'm taking the Packers over the Chargers in that one. Now, here's a primetime game Sunday night, the Baltimore Ravens, Pittsburgh Steelers. As a Browns fan, it's hard for me to pick a winner in this because I would just want a big hole to open up in the earth at Heinz Field and suck both of them down. I'm just glad it's not throwback week in the NFL, because if it were throwback week, the Baltimore Ravens would be dressed as the Cleveland Browns. With that all being said, the Steelers have major issues injury-wise at the linebacker position. Lamar Woodley is going to be out. James Harrison is still out. The offensive line is coming together slowly despite the injuries. I'm going to take the Steelers in a close one Sunday night, prime time in Pittsburgh, as painful, again, as that is for me to admit. Now, here's a big-time Monday night football game. You have the Bears heading to Philadelphia. The Bears, again, were on bye week last week. I think Philadelphia is going to win this game, and it may not be a very pretty game for Monday night football. The way Philadelphia can get at the quarterback and the way the Bears can not protect Jay Cutler, we've seen it week in and week out. This could be disastrous for the Chicago Bears. I'm taking the Eagles all the way on Monday night. And this has been your Pigskin Pick'em and more here on Untimed. Now, I want to talk about World Series. I know it ended earlier this last week. It's your World Series Major League Baseball recap. It's going to be the last one that we do for a little while, at least till spring. Now, if you didn't catch any of the World Series, I'm sorry, it was a heck of a series. But the World Series heading into Game 6, we spoke about this last week on the show. Game 6 was unbelievable. One of the best baseball games, honestly, you could ask for in World Series. Probably one of the best games that I've ever witnessed personally watching on TV. It was a phenomenal, phenomenal game. The Rangers were one out away two different times in the eighth inning, in the ninth inning, and blow two-run leads. And then the Cardinals behind David Freese with a walk-off home run. Here's the call. Freese hits it in the air to center. There's the call there, Joe Buck on Fox making the call. David Freese with a walk-off home run in the 11th inning in Game 6 to tie it up 3-3. That sends us to a Game 7. Now, Game 7 was not nearly as exciting as Game 6 was. The Rangers, you could see it in their faces when it came crunch time in Game 7. They were down a couple runs. You could see it. They knew that they let it slip away. Congratulations to the St. Louis Cardinals. Again, they made history. I mean, in the regular season, they make a big-time run coming back from almost 10 games down in August to make the playoffs to get the wild card. And then they beat the Philadelphia Phillies, the best team in baseball record-wise, in Philadelphia. Then they go to Milwaukee to beat the Brewers, their division rival, in the conference finals of the National League. And then they had the debacle in Game 5 in Texas, and then to win Game 6 and Game 7 in St. Louis in front of their home crowd. Congratulations. Tony La Russa announced his retirement yesterday after 33 years in the big leagues, walking away John Elway style on top with 3 World Series championships, 2 of them in St. Louis. The other one was in 2006. So we head into the Major League Baseball offseason. Major League Baseball has similar issues contract-wise, like the NBA and the NFL have with a new collective bargaining agreement. I suspect they're going to get this thing completed rather easily and quietly. It more likely is a formality at this point. And we'll see you guys in April for spring. That's been your final Major League Baseball recap for the year. How about that? Now, I tell you what, I'm going to head off the path here. This is a segment we've been doing on the show for some time now where we talk about non-related sports topics. Here's an interesting one I want to bring to you right now. The organization that planned Metallica concerts in India, these guys were arrested after a show was called off, leading fans of the band to destroy the stage and vandalize equipment. Metallica had booked to play in Delhi, India this past Friday, but they postponed the show because of a security barrier in the front of the stage had collapsed. The group issued a statement explaining that they were notified that there were serious questions about whether the show could proceed in regards to safety and concern of the audience. It is our first and foremost concern, as always, the safety of our fans. The promoters were unable to secure a permit for the concert on the following day. The 4 executives of DNA Entertainment Network, the promoters of the actual concert itself, were arrested on fraud charges after they refused to refund tickets to the event. Reports indicate that nearly 25,000 people had purchased tickets to the event for Metallica's first ever show in India. Yeah. So probably needless to say that Metallica is not going to be playing a show in India anytime soon. And if you're booked with DNA Entertainment Network, you may want to try to get out of that one for any event. So a little news for you there as far as Metallica is concerned. Richmond, Virginia metal band Lamb of God has set their title for their new album, which is due January the 24th, 2012, via Epic Records. It's called Resolution. The CD was once aged and helmed by producer Josh Wilbur, who worked with the bands on their last album in 2009. One of the tracks that will appear on Resolution includes an orchestra and a choir, these opera singers and opera singers as well. The whole symphony going on, it was crazy, said drummer Chris Adol, as he told Guy Gunshy Assassination, about the song, which features the band's vocalist Randy Blythe singing overly and openly through the title of the track. So they're very excited about this. They think this album, Resolution, is going to be way better than their previous album in 2009 called Wrath. Excuse me. During 2012 World Tour, Lamb of God, in connection with Epic Records and 914 Films, will film a documentary about their fans and their personal stories on how the band's music helped them cope with their everyday lives. Lamb of God will be booking individuals to do this. So if you're interested, you're a big Lamb of God fan, go to their website and find the information how you can submit your video to the band and be on their documentary coming in 2012. Also, the new album hits again January 24th, 2012, Lamb of God, Resolution. Now, you know what? Maybe it's just the fact that, you know, 6 years ago, or it has been 6 years since Garbage, the band Garbage, last album, a highly underrated last album, which was called Bleed Like Me. Butch Vig has been spending a lot of time, you know, doing what Butch Vig does. And, oh, yeah, he also produced an album by the Foo Fighters this spring, which is pretty good as well. He said what it boils down to is philosophy and something that anyone, you know, can kind of understand. He said, we're just not going to work with people who suck anymore. Butch Vig. Once the quartet was free of industry shackles, Butch Vig said, he said, we wanted to get back to music. We got together with no agenda other than just to jam a little bit and basically mess around to see what we came up with. He said it was very inspiring. With nobody putting any pressure on us, the songwriting started and happened really quickly. The results of the initial jam session is a yet-to-be-named album, an untitled album, which Butch Vig said will be out sometime in March or April of 2012. He said hopefully they'll have a single out by the end of the year. I can, you know, want to put some energy in the vibe and tracks. He says we're sounding, sounds refreshing. He said it actually sounds like a lot like the first two records. So if you're a Garbage fan, you're a Shirley Manson fan, you like Butch Vig, Garbage has got some new stuff coming for you at the end of the year and this spring of 2012. Here's something. This is actually an event that's going on tonight. And here's a little backstory on it. During the 1980s, charity singles like "Do You Know It's Christmas" and "We Are the World" top the charts. Of course, everybody knows that "We Are the World." Yeah, I'm not gonna sing because I don't want you all to be singing it later. But now the metal bands and people in the metal world, you know, James Dio, who recently just passed away this past year, members of Vivian Campbell, Jimmy Bain decided to do something about it. And they felt that, you know, Ronnie James Dio would be the singer for this project they put together. It's a charity project. The results of the song is titled Stars, featuring members of Motley Crue, Judas Priest, Iron Maiden, Quiet Riot, Twisted Sister, Blue Oyster Cult, and even Spinal Tap. The group, which called itself Here in Aid, also enlisted Ted Nugent to help out to record a track to put on the album Stars, featuring live cuts from Kiss, Rush, Dio, and many others. The track should be a part of the 80s lore. It features, again, Ron James Dio and Rome Halford, among others, on lead vocals. But due to contract issues with record labels at the time, the song and album weren't released until New Year's Day of 1986, after the success of its predecessors had since been largely forgotten. Now, Ronnie's widow, Wendy Dio, wants to fix all that, basically. She's going to re-release Stars and also, along with it, a DVD as well. She said, when it was released, it really only came out on vinyl and cassette. I want to get it out on DVD and also CD, she tells Rolling Stones. She says, I have loads of outtakes in the video. Until then, Wendy has a slate of projects on the horizon to honor Ron James Dio's memory and raise funds. It's called Stand Up and Shout. It's a cancer fund. Everything actually kicks off tonight at the Playboy Mansion in Los Angeles with the reward ceremony, which is actually hosted by Eddie Trunk. The reward ceremony, all the reward awards are titled by Dio songs. The King of Rock and Roll honor being given this year to his Black Sabbath bandmate Geezer Butler. Also, Wendy Dio is planning on doing a bowling benefit on January the 31st and also a guitar auction in April featuring over 100 donated guitars. Next year, she wants to begin work on a tribute album, which will also include David Grohl doing Mob Rules and also Asia lead singer John Payne, who will tackle a Heaven and Hell. She also tells that they will have a double album that will include friends like Rob Halford, Glenn Hughes, and as well as younger bands such as Killswitch Engage and others who were influenced by Dio's music. A lot of stuff there. It's good to see that, you know, she's, you know, doing something to, you know, honor Dio and also, you know, doing it for a good cause. You know, obviously cancer is, I don't know anybody that doesn't know somebody or something that hasn't been affected by the disease. So it's good to see that, you know, she's, you know, taking the steps and, you know, getting all these other acts involved in doing it for a good cause. Moving on tonight here on Unsigned, my name is Ryan. Again, thanks for hanging out with me. Appreciate it. As we continue off the path, Alan Metzer, the founder and former chairman of Wind Up Entertainment, passed away over the weekend. It was announced yesterday on Halloween, Monday the 31st. He was 67 years old. Metzer, along with his wife Diane, formed the New York-based Wind Up Records in 1997 after purchasing an indie label, Grass Records, under their watch, they signed multi-platinum acts such as Creed and Evanescence and others to play key roles in popular hard rock music at the end of the 1990s Metzler left the company in 2010. Prior to his time at the label, Metzler owned and operated Connecticut-based CD One Stop, which grew from a chain of Long Island record stores into one of the biggest wholesale distribution compact disc companies in the 1980s and the 1990s. Again, Alan Metzler died this past weekend at the age of 67, founder of Wind Up Entertainment. Here's your top movies at the box office this week. We do this every week, so here we go. Number 10, the movie Courageous at $1.8 million. The movie Moneyball, $2.4 million. The IDs of March, $2.7 million. The Three Musketeers, surprising to see at that low, $3.5 million. Real Steel, $4.7 million. The Rum Diary, which looks like an interesting film, $5 million. And the movie Footloose, proving again that dancing is a sin, $5.4 million. The movie In Time at $12 million. Paranormal Activity 3, Holiday Weekend, of course, making $18.5 million. And number one at the box office this week is Puss in Boots at $34 million. That concludes our section of Off the Path tonight. Now I'm going to jump right into college football. We'll check the scoreboard here this past weekend. You have number 14, Houston, taking on Rice, 73-34. Not much of a contest there. Here's a shocker. Michigan State coming off the big Hail Mary win against the Wisconsin Badgers. They head to Lincoln to take on the Cornhuskers in Nebraska, and they get blown out 24-3. Michigan beating up on Purdue 36-14. The Arkansas Razorbacks getting all they can handle from Vanderbilt 31-28. They escape with a win in Nashville. Virginia Tech taking on Duke. Surprisingly, they struggle with Duke as much as they did, 14-10. Washington State taking on the Oregon Ducks, 43-28 in favor of the Ducks. Baylor taking on Oklahoma State, number three in the country. Baylor did not stand a chance in this despite 425 yards passing by Robert Griffin III. Oklahoma State, 59-24. Amazing pass for 425 yards and only scored 24 points. Unbelievable. Georgia going down to the swamp, taking on those the Gators. The Bulldogs get a win, 24-20. They are very much in line for the SEC East championship. West Virginia, a lot of stuff buzzing about West Virginia wanting to leave the Big East. They ended up suing the Big East Conference because they want to go join the Big 12. They get a big win over Rutgers, 41-31. Oklahoma bouncing back after that embarrassing loss to Texas Tech, taking on undefeated Kansas State. They're not undefeated anymore. Oklahoma all over Big 12 counterpart, 58-17. Illinois taking on Penn State in Happy Valley. Congratulations to Joe Paterno, winning his 409th win in NCAA football. And in a snowy game at Happy Valley, Illinois has a chance to kick a field goal, tie the game, bounces off the upright. Joe Pa gets the win, 10-7. Arizona State taking on Colorado. Osweiler, the quarterback out of Arizona State, is a quarterback, 6'8", and has got a rocket arm. They win big time over Colorado, 48-14. Auburn getting a win over Mississippi, 41-23. And the South Carolina Gamecocks head into Knoxville and get a win. It wasn't pretty, but they get a win, 14-3. Tennessee now 3-5 on the season in a tailspin. Wisconsin taking on Ohio State, one of the most entertaining games of the weekend. Ohio State and their freshman quarterback Braxton Miller, and with really what could be called as a Hail Mary pass with 40 seconds to go, Buckeyes win 33-28. The Badgers lose two in a row, still in the top 25, but national title hopes are neck. Now, even after two losses in a row, their Big Ten title hopes may even be in question. And how about this? As bad a start as Ohio State has had, they're actually still in the hunt for a Big Ten title. Another undefeated team going down. That's the Clemson Tigers taking on Georgia Tech. And Georgia Tech, the last time Clemson was 8-0 and they lost a game was in Georgia Tech. Ironically enough, here they are, 8-0, going in to play Georgia Tech, and they get beat 31-17. That option is hard to defend. If you don't see it a whole lot, it's definitely hard to defend. Georgia Tech gets a big-time win in the ACC. Clemson still in the driver's seat for an ACC championship, no doubt about it. Tough loss there. National title hopes more than likely down the drain. Yellow Jackets 31, Tigers 17. And the primetime game on ABC, another very exciting game. I was watching the Ohio State game, so I didn't catch a lot of this game. I was able to catch the back end of the fourth quarter in the triple overtime. Stanford and Andrew Luck against USC and Matt Barkley. I tell you what, if this game showed anything, it shows Stanford is gutty. And also shows that there are more than just one big-time quarterback coming out to the NFL draft. Matt Barkley from USC, he's a good quarterback. That kid's got a cannon. Yeah, I hated him a couple years ago as a freshman when he went to Ohio State and won. No one has ever done that before. And I was like, oh, maybe this kid's got something. A couple years later, seeing him again, the kid is good. But Stanford, I think, has a better football team. They win it 56-48 in triple overtime. Unbelievable. Again, BCS shakeup in the top 25. The Wisconsin Badgers end up at number 20. Arizona State at number 19. Georgia Bulldogs at number 18. Michigan State, the Spartans, holding steady at number 17. Penn State finally getting respect, only 8-1. Their only losses to Alabama at number 16. Michigan Wolverines, number 15. Kansas State with the Wildcats at number 14. The Houston Cougars, why the Big 12 does not invite Houston to be in their conference, I have no idea. They are undefeated right now at number 13. Virginia Tech, the Hokies at 8-1. Their only loss was to Clemson at number 12. Number 11, the Clemson Tigers also 8-1 at number 11. Here's your top 10 in the BCS standings right now as it stands. Nebraska, the Cornhuskers. Number 9, the South Carolina Gamecocks. Number 8, the Oregon Ducks. Number 7, the Arkansas Razorbacks. They control their own destiny. If they can win out, they play LSU later in the year. If they win out, that is really going to shake things up. The Oklahoma Sooners, another team that controls their own destiny because they play Oklahoma State later this year. That should be, again, is going to determine who's going to play in that national title game. Boise State at number 5. The Stanford Cardinal and Andrew Luck at number 3. And here's your top three right now. Oklahoma State, the Cowboys, and number 1 and number 2, they're going to play this weekend, the Tussle and Tallahassee, blah, I can't even talk. Alabama, the Crimson Tide, and the LSU Tigers, number 1 versus number 2. It doesn't happen all the time in the BCS. This is a big-time game. I'm sorry. These are the best two teams in college football. I've seen a lot of college football, and I'm not saying, you know, I'm not an SEC fan by any means. But these are the two best teams in college football, no doubt about it. Now, do I think that, like a lot of people here in SEC country, that if Alabama and LSU, if you know one of them only ends up with one loss and they don't win their conference title, should they get another shot at the national title? Absolutely not. I don't believe that. If you can't win your conference, if you can't win your conference title in your conference, you don't deserve to play for a national title. So one of these teams are going to play for a national title, and they're going to play, I don't know, I guess Stanford, depending on how, if they beat Oregon or not. Boise State is right there. So, I mean, a lot can happen in these last 4 or 5 weeks in the season. But as of right now, Alabama, LSU taking place Saturday. Book it. That is going to be one heck of a football game. I'm inclined to take the LSU Tigers. That's my initial reaction here. With Nick Saban, you know, both teams were on a bye week last week. So Nick Saban, game planning, hard to tell there. It's a toss-up. But my initial reaction is to take LSU. That's your college football BCS wrap-up here on Unsigned. My name is Ryan. Thanks for hanging out with me. One other story I want to cover tonight, and this is actually a surfing story. Yeah, we don't cover a lot of surfing. And if you know me, you know that I'm definitely not getting on a surfboard anytime soon. But the top surfers around the world have gathered in San Francisco at the ASP World Tour competition. They have the contend with fog, bone-chilling winds, water temperatures, and all those things. But also, during this time of year, they have to contend with sharks off the bay, 25 miles off the coast, coming from the Cape Town. They actually saw a bunch of white sharks and, ended up postponing some of the events. One of the surfers said, he didn't even finish one of the heats. He just jumped right out of the water and got the heck out of there. His person he was racing against at the time from South Africa, Jory Smith, who remained in the water for the remaining 5 minutes and easily obviously won his heat because everybody else got out of the water. He says, coming from where I come from in South Africa, he said, I used to seeing sharks all the time. Oh, well, just because you're used to seeing sharks all the time doesn't necessarily mean that you want to be on your surfboard at the time. I see sharks all the time. Unbelievable. During the competition, somebody was actually bitten by a shark later on Saturday afternoon. What would believed to have been a large, again, white shark just north of Monterey off the coast. He sustained moderate injuries to his arm and his neck, but the shark tore a 19-inch chunk out of his surfboard. I'm sorry. I don't want to get in that water. I don't know about you, Mike. You doing any surfing in San Francisco this time of year?
I typically do, yes. I have some form of, I guess it's some have described it as a shark mating call. It calms the sharks.
I like to watch Jaws first before I go. You know, really entrench myself into it, and then drink a little whiskey, and then do it. You know, that's just like they do in Jaws.
You got to calm your nerves.
Yeah, I got to calm the nerves and have a couple drinks, get my harpoon out, and go whaling. You know, I don't care. You know, I'm doing it. A 19-inch chunk out of a surfboard. You think about 19 inches, man. That, I mean, a shark gets a hold of you, 19 inches of your body is gone.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you can't really pick a good part of your body to lose 19 inches of.
Well, that one surfer girl, she lost her arm, and she's still competitive.
Yeah, true. Right? A movie about her. Soul Surfer, which is a movie about her. So,
if you have a choice, if a shark gives you the option, Ryan, to lose an appendage, and you're a surfer, you have to keep your legs. So,
true.
Are you a lefty or a righty? I mean, that's really the question at this point.
Yeah, there you go. Well, I'm kind of ambidextrous, so I want to keep both. I'm keeping both. I'm keeping all my limbs as much as I can. So that's our Surf's Up story tonight here on Unsigned. And I want to thank the band Vanatica and Travis for stopping by. Good group of guys and you know, giving us the ability to play some of the music for them tonight. Definitely check them out at Vanatica on Twitter. Good group of guys. Very good music as well. Also, shout out to at Cooker Carolyn. Follow her on Twitter, at Cooker Carolyn. Mike, again, thanks. Good job as always. It seems harder to enjoy the finer things in life. Until next time, do so.